Today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Tzadi Zayin. We are holding on toward the end of Tzadi Vav and Beis, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page at Ibayiluhu. The Gemara is going to discuss first whether the Shoel is obligated to pay for a loss of value to the animal due to Malacha. He was working with the animal, so the animal was devalued because it worked too hard. Or the animal died because it worked too hard. Is the Shoel obligated to pay for that? Then the Gemara is going to go back to the issue of Balavimo, and Rava is going to give advice how to always make sure when you borrow things that you have Balavimo so that you'll be Potter from Onsim. And then the Gemara is going to discuss a variety of different workers who work for the community and whether they always have the status of Balavimo, and we're going to particularly focus on a Rebbe. Is a Rebbe considered to be working for the Talmidim constantly, and therefore if they ever borrow anything from the Rebbe, it's automatically considered to be a situation of Balavimo. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph is going to discuss a case where a person not only borrows but also rents, whether it's the same animal that he rents half a day and borrows half a day, or whether he borrows it for today and rents it for tomorrow, or it's two different animals, and then an onus happens and the animal dies. And the Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if the lender says that the animal that died was died during the she'ela, and therefore shoel is chayiv and onsim, you have to pay me. And the borrower says no, the animal that died was during the time of schirus, and a socher is pater from onsim. So we're going to have four different situations where this one's a tainas bari, that one's a Tainas Shema, or the reverse, or they're both a Tainas Bari, or they're both a Tainas Shema, what we do in those circumstances. And that's going to get into, obviously, a discussion of Bari Vishema in general. So let's begin at Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, I Bayiluhu, says the Gemara, I Bayiluhu, Ki Chesh Basar Machmas Malacha Mai. What if the animal went down in value because it got weakened from doing work? What's the halacha then? Amalei humi rabban rav chilke bereda rav av yashamei, mechlal d'chi mesa machmas malacha mechayiv. The very fact that you're raising the question, if the animal is weakened because of malacha, does he have to pay or does he not have to pay? That implies that if the animal were to die machmas malacha, you're assuming he's chayiv. Well, neima lav l'ukma b'kilta she'ilta. Shouldn't the borrower be able to tell the lender, what do you think I was borrowing the animal for? Obviously, I was borrowing it to do work, so why would I be chayiv when it actually does work and it dies as a result of that work? That's obviously the purpose of my she'ela. Ella amarava lo mi ba'yikichesh basar machmas malacha de pater. The way Rava formulates it is that there's no shaila, that if the animal goes down in value because of work that it does, for sure the borrower is going to be pater. Ella afilu mesa machmas malacha nami pater. Even if it dies as a result of the work, you're also going to be pater. Da amalei lav lukma b'kilta shilta, because he can have a valid taina that I didn't borrow it to do nothing. I didn't borrow it to just sit there. Obviously, I borrowed it to do work, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay. The Ramban raises the question, and all the Rishonim raise the question, why is there a patur of Mesa Machmas Malacha? If, let's say, it died on its own, the shoel is going to be chayiv. When the animal just dies on its own, onas gomer, the shoel is going to be chayiv. Why, when it's mesa malachas malacha, should that be a patur for the shoel? If the shoel would not have been working with it and it drops dead, the shoel is going to be chayiv. Now that it drops dead because of the work, the shoel is going to be patur. How does that make any sense? So the Ramban suggests that the shoel is only chayiv to pay when an onus happens. But let's say the mashil were to break into the shoel's house and shoot the animal dead. So obviously the shoel would not have to pay the mashil for that, because that's the pshia of the mashil. Well, if a mashil is lending you an animal to do work, and the animal cannot do that work, the animal is going to die from that work, says Ramban, that's considered a pshia of the mashil, and that's why the shoel is going to be pater. That's how the Ramban understands. The Ritva points out that it would turn out that if the shoel is machbid b'malachta, he works it harder than the mashil would have expected. Or if it gets sick after the she'ela, and you do malacha with it and it dies, then you would be chayiv to pay, because that's not considered to be dying as a result of the pshia of the mashil. So the Rashba suggests somewhat differently. The Rashba writes that the reason of the patur of mesa machmas malacha is a little bit different, that since the mashil knew that it's possible that the para is going to be weakened because of the malacha, and still he was maskim to the shela, it's not that it's a pshia of the mashil, but it's considered considered to be if you knew that it would be weakened by doing work, so that's part of the deal that I know I'm giving it to you and it's going to be weakened. So mali mesa kula. So if it dies or it gets weak, that's all part of the deal that I knew that this is the way it's. It says if the mashal was maskim mitchila lekach, that was part of the deal of what he understood that he was getting into. Okay, there are other suggestions offered by the Achronim. The Machne Ephraim suggests very interestingly the reason of the patur is that someone who borrows something is doing it al das, that it will be ra'ui to be used for what he's borrowing it for. And when the para dies or gets weakened because of the malacha, it's niskalim hadavil mafrei that the sheila was betos. He never would have borrowed something that he thought was going to die because of the malacha. So the whole sheila was betos, and maybe that's why he doesn't have to pay for it. Okay, it says Gemara a few stories relating to this idea that if you're using it in the normal way and it's mesa machmas malacha, you're potter. Who gavra deshol narga mechavrei? A guy borrowed an axe from his friend. Itbar, the axe broke. Asel kamei derava. So they asked the sheila to Rava. Amrlei zila. The iftar, you bring a raya that you didn't do anything unusual with this axe, that you used it in the normal way, and you'll be potter. What if he doesn't have witnesses that he didn't misuse the axe? Tashma. So Gemara will bring a raya. Do gavra d'shol narga mechavri v'itbar. There was a guy that borrowed an axe from his friend and it broke. Also, kamei rav, they went to ask the shayla to rav. Amle zil shalom le narga ma'alya. Go pay him for a brand new axe. Go pay him for a good axe. Amle rav kahan of ravasi l'rav. Dinahachi. Is that really the din when you break someone else's item? Didn't we learn in Maseches Baba Kama that the way it works is that you, if let's say your animal kills someone else's animal, so you evaluate what the dead animal is worth, and if the dead animal has any value, so let's say when it was alive it was worth $100, now that it's dead it's worth $50, so you let the guy keep his dead animal, and then you pay another $150, you just make up the difference, but you don't just pay d'mei ma'aliyah, you don't pay for the full value. V'shasik Rav, and Rav had no response to that, because that in fact should be the halacha. V'ilsak Rav Kahan of Ravasi, and therefore the halacha is that you give him back the broken pieces and then you fill in the rest of the value of the item that you broke. Someone borrowed a bucket from his friend and itbar, the bucket broke. They went to Rav Papa, bring a raya that you didn't do anything wrong with it, that you didn't do anything unusual, you didn't use it in an unusual way, and you will in fact be part of the Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Sheila that if someone borrows a cow to do charisha with, to plow with, and then the shoal decides instead to thresh with it or to ride on it, there's no p'tur of mesa machmas malacha because he was mishana from the malacha that he borrowed it for. And the Magen Mishnah is medayik from the Rambam that if you're mishana in any which way, even the malacha kala, l'chora disha is an easier malacha than charisha. So even if you're mishana to a malacha chamura to a malacha kala, even then you don't have the p'tur of mesa machmas malacha. The smain is commentary in the side of Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem doesn't understand why that should be the case. He thinks, Adraba, no, if you do a malacha kala with it, so that's why wouldn't you have a p'tur of mesa machmas malacha? Why would the p'tur of mesa machmas malacha go away? Okay, who gavra deshol shunra mechavrei? There was a guy that borrowed a cat from his friend. Chamur alei achbari v'katlu. Why did he borrow the cat? Same reason restaurants borrow cats when they have when we were going around on the kashrus thing. We went to see different restaurants and I saw a cat in the kitchen of one of the restaurants. They said, yeah, they had a mouse problem, so they have a cat. I no longer eat in that restaurant, but there was they borrow a cat to take care of all the mice, and the mice team up on the cat and they kill the cat. So is that called mesa machmas malacha? So Yasser Rav Ashi v'kamim boyle ki agav namai. So he raises the shayla. Is it, what's the halacha in such a case? Do we assume that it's called mesa machmas malacha? Ki mesa machmas malacha dami olav. Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi hachi am ravimi me'agroni mishmei derava gavra dinashi katlu lo dina v'lo dina. It's like a man who gets beaten up by women. So what are you going to do? Meaning you can't expect that to happen. You were doing a normal malacha with a cat. The cat is supposed to be able to beat up the mice. The mice beat up the cat. That's not something that a person could have anticipated. He's going to be potter. It was a normal mesa machmas melacha. Chumas Deshan writes in the Chuvin Simshin Chav Ches that someone who borrows weapons from his friend to because he's going out to war, and then he gets captured and his weapons get taken away, so he's potter because that's considered mesa machmas melacha. He says very similar to the cat that comes to kill the mice and they kill him, that it's potter even though it wasn't mesa machmas melacha atzma. It was mesa because of they teamed up on him and they didn't let him do his malacha. So Chumash Deshan says the same thing by borrowing weapons. The Shach isn't sure that that's true, because the cat dies while he's doing the malacha. The weapons weren't being used when they were taken away. The weapons were, because he never got to use them. The guy was captured. So the Shach isn't sure that that's a legitimate comparison. Ikeda Amri, others say, Achlach bari tuva v'chavel meis. No, the case, it was not that the mice teamed up on the cat and beat him up. No, the case was that the cat ate so many mice that it got sick and died from eating all the mice. So then, is that considered mesa melacha? Yosef Ravashi v'kamayin baki agav namai. That's what they were asking. What's the halacha in such a case? Amalev Mordechai Ravashi Yacham Ravim Me'agronya Gavr Dinashi Katul Lo Dina V'lo Daina. Let's say you have a man that women kill him, but not by teaming up on him and beating him up, but a man is Boel B'ilos Harbe. He sleeps with this woman and that woman and that woman till the point where he's beaten to the point of exhaustion and he just dies from it. So less din of a lo dain, the person is not going to be that's an unusual thing to happen, that a person would die from such a thing, and the person is expected to know when he's hit his point where he's where he can't do anything, where he shouldn't continue. So Rabbeinu Chananel explains that the mashal is like the Mordechai saying, is someone borrows an eved to let's say impregnate all of his shvachos, and then the eved dies because of riboy be'ilos. So the shaul is part from paying because the eved is the one that killed himself. Well, it's not my problem that I didn't kill him through the work; he killed himself. He should have known his limits. So we should pat to the shaul because the chatul, the cat, was mazik himself. He shouldn't have eaten so much. He should have realized when he was full and that he can't that he shouldn't to overeat. Amar Rava, Haiman Dabai Lemishal Midi Mechavre Velifta. Rava says, Stam, if you want good advice, if a person is going to borrow something from his friend and he wants to be putter, Neimalei Ashki and Maya. When you're going to borrow something from your friend, ask him for a glass of water, Tavi Sheila Babailim, because then it will be Sheila Babailim, because you're using him as well. Rabbeinu Yonasan Milunil is quoting the Shita Mukubet, says over here that that's only if what you're borrowing from him is a drinking glass. That it has to be that you're borrowing something that relates to that malacha. But if you're borrowing something that's totally unrelated to that malacha, then it wouldn't apply. But in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin that way. That even if he's borrowing something else, completely different malacha, having nothing to do with what this fellow is doing for you, still it's considered by Levimo. V'ipikeachu, now if the lender is smart, namely Sha'il Bereshav Adrashkech, I'll be glad to get you a glass of water right after you borrow this, meaning first borrow it and then I'll get you a glass of water, and then it'll avoid the situation of by Levimo. Amar Rava. Rava says the following people, due to the nature of their jobs, are always considered to be bailavimo because they're always working for the community. Mikri Dardiki, the teacher of children, Shasla, a gardener, Tavcha, a butcher, V'umna, a bloodletter, Sapar Masa, it's a machlokas how to read that, is a Rashi says Sapar like a mistaper, someone who gives haircuts, the barber of the town, the Rambam, however, in Hilcha Shela Perek Beis Halacha Gimel seems to understand that it's talking about the Sofer Masa, the guy who writes Shtaros in the town. So the Ritva points out it's just a machlokas how to translate, but both would be the same. These are both communal workers who work for everybody. They work for the entire community, so it's not a machlokas in Halacha. Kulan bi'idan avidutayu kashela bebailam damu. But all of these people, while they're doing their work, it's considered to be she'ela bebailam, as long as they're doing their work. What does that mean, as long as they're doing their work? Three-way machlokas rishonim. The Rush quotes from the Ravid that it doesn't only mean when they're actually osik b'malacha, that someone who borrows something is pater, but kolzman that they're meshuba to the b'nei ya'ir to do the work, that someone who's shoel is going to be considered she'ela bebailam. But that's only during his man that's ra'oi l'malacha. But as a man that's not roi l'melacha, then the shovel for someone who borrows from them is going to be chayiv. The Rambam in Hilchos Sheila Perek Beis Halacha Gimel writes that each of these balei melacha, someone who borrows from them during the day that they're sitting to do work, it's considered by levim on their potter. And the Rabbi Yerucham explains what he means to say is that only if it's b'yom where they're osik b'melachto, as opposed to b'layla when they're not osik b'melachto. The Rivash says that the shol me'am b'shosha osik b'melachtam only when they're actually doing work, not on a day that they're designated to do work, not at a time where they're meshuba to do work. But the Rivash understands only when they are actually doing work is one chayv. So the Nesivus points out in Simshin Mem Vav that according to that sheet of the Rivash, it's only when they're actually doing work. How do we understand the application of Baal Avimo that we had yesterday about Baal Benichse Yishto, that is Pater Midin She'ela Bebailim, since the woman is Meshubad to do the work of the husband? She's not doing the work of the husband at that very moment. If you understand that it's only Baal Avimo, that if they're working at that very moment, how do you understand a Baal Benichse Yishto to be in a situation of Baal Avimo? So he distinguishes between a woman who's constantly sort of on call as opposed to a worker who only works certain hours of the day. Okay, Amar le Rabban le Rava, Sha'ilan Mar. The Rabbanan said to Rava, oh, you just taught us this halacha that a teacher and all these people who work for the community is always Baal Avimo. So if we borrow something from you, it's always Baal Avimo. We're always going to be Pater because you're working for us because you're teaching us Torah. Ikbit, he got upset by that. Why are you trying to cost me money over here? Adrava, atun shi'iltun li. To the contrary, you're the ones that are lent out to me. I'm not. You're not using me. I'm using you. Because I get to call the shots around here. If I decide we're learning this mesechta, that's the mesechta we're learning. So that control, that level of control over what they're going to be learning, is what makes me the real Bailam. Atun lo matzis lishtamute. You don't have the right to decide what mesechta we're going to be learning. Velohi. The real halacha is it depends. You know, when it's Yom HaDekala, when it's the time before the Yantif where they have to be studying the Hilchos Chag, Kodem Chag, so then the Rebbe doesn't really have the choice to change the Masechta on them, so then he's working for them. The rest of the year, he can always change the Masechta, so then they're working for him. So that's a question. Is that true that the Rebbe always has the right to change the Masechta whenever he wants? In the Chuvus Eretz Svi, the Kazhuk Lover, he had a correspondence with the Imrei Emes. So the Kazhuk Lover writes in Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Beis, the Imrei Emes had asked him that this sugya sosa the Gemara Nevel Dazar Daf Yutes, that ein odem lo meir ela b'makom shelibo chafet. So it sounds like the Talmidim have the right to choose what Masechta to learn because they're only going to learn what libo chafet. And over here it sounds like the Rebbe has the right to choose. So there Tzvi says, no, Rashi over here writes that when I want to start another Masechta, shelo tishtakach mimeni, Rashi says, so that I don't forget this Masechta, so then I'm allowed to start another Masechta. But that's the only reason a Rebbe's ever allowed to change. If he's afraid that he's going to violate the Isser of Pentishkach, there's an Isser Daraisi, you're not allowed to forget your Torah. But absent that, if he's not afraid that he's going to violate that Isser, then it is up to the Talmidim. And then he says that if the Rebbe wants to learn another Masechta, and the Talmidim want to learn another Masechta, the Rebbe also has a Nodim Lomid El B'Mashalibo Chavez. So Chayach HaKodmin L'Chayach HaVercha. So the Rebbe has the right to choose. It's not a stira in the sugyas. The Rebbe also has that din of only learning what he's interested in learning, and his life comes before the life of the Talmidim. It happens to be the Makna in his Hakdama to the Sefer HaMakna doesn't think that that's correct. He thinks that when the Gemara Chagiga and Moikatan tells us that Imdoma Rav L'Malach Hashem Tzvakos then Tavakish Torah Mipiv, that if the Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, it means that he has absolutely zero self-interest. That means that just like a Malach, he has a mission, he's there to do the job, and it's not about him, it's not about getting any of the glory or anything like that. If the Rebbe shouldn't be interested in how to improve his own learning through the teaching, it should be whatever he's going to take to make the Talmidim better. So a little bit different than the Chayecha Kodmim of the Kazhuk Lover. So maybe that's a discussion. I've been in many Rebbe's meetings where that discussion has happened. Should it be where the Masechta that the Rebbeim are interested in learning so that they can get excited about the Limud and whatever, or should it be whatever is the best thing for the Talmud to learn, even if it's so boring for the Rebbe because they're teaching the same thing over and over again, but if that's the best thing for the Talmidim to learn, so that's a discussion to be had. Okay. Maremar Bar Chanina, Ogir Kudun Yasa Bechazai. Maremar Rabbi Chanina rented his mule to in Bechuzai, Nafag Ludli Tuna Ba'adayu, and he went out to help load the animal up. Pashuba umis. Then they were poshea with it, and the animal died. Aslo kamei the Rava chayvinu. So Rava said to the chayiv, Amrulei Rabban the Rava pshia bebailami. They should be potter. This is bailavimo, and making an assumption that pshia bebailami also have the ptur of bailavimo. Ichsef, he was embarrassed. He realized that it was bailavimo, and they made the wrong call. Lesof iglayim milsa to the mesar to unahu denafak. Then later they realized that they got the case wrong. He hadn't actually come to help out. He just came to observe to make sure that they weren't overloading the animal, but it wasn't really a case of bailavimo. So his mistaken psak turned out to be correct, turned out to be inadvertently correct, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his back on that one, that he wouldn't allow it to be nichshal, that such a thing didn't happen as a result of him. The Maritz Chayis connects this with the Sugyam Babasu Kuflam Gimlam Beis, where Rav Elish got embarrassed because he made the wrong psak, and Rava said about him, Ani Hashem Be'ita Achishena, that Rava came to be menachim him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed, Rava said to him when he corrected him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here just so I could correct you, so that Dvar Takala won't be Yotzi Mipiv. So as Maritz Chayis says, Rava knew to say that Nechama because of Rava's own experience in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Zayin. That Rava himself said the wrong psak, but it turned out to be the right psak once all the Metzius came to light. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that a Dvar Takala doesn't come out. This whole conversation makes sense if you assume that Pshia Bebailim is Taka Potter. Mishum Hachi Ichsef. That's why he was embarrassed, because Pshia Bebailim should have been Potter. But if you hold Pshia Bebailim is Chayiv anyway, so what was he embarrassed about? So lo mifsha pashuba ele ignuve ignuv umesa kadarka beganav havi. Because the case wasn't really that they were poshaya. The case was that it got stolen and it died in the house of the ganav. And nevertheless, they're going to be Chayiv, as Rashi points out, because even if the Malach HaMavis wouldn't have killed it there, it would still have been in the Beis HaGanav, like we had said much earlier in this Masechta. Vasil came to Rava, and then they came to Rava v'chayvinu, and Rava said that the Chayiv Amle Rabban Rava, Geneva b'baylim hi. This is Geneva b'baylim, it's b'aylavimo. So Ichsiv, and that's when Rava was embarrassed. L'sovig lai milsad l'meisav tu'unahu d'nafak. And then it became clear later on that he hadn't come to help out. He had only come to watch to make sure that they don't overload the animal. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashoel es haparah. Someone who borrows a cow, but he doesn't only borrow a cow. Sha'ala chati yom v'sachra chati yom. In fact, the Rishonim are bothered. Why the heading? Hashoel es haparah. It's not really about hashoel es haparah. It's about sha'ala chati yom. What's added by Hashoel es haparah? But whatever it is, if you borrow the cow for half the day, you rent the cow for half the day. Sha'al hayom u'sachar l'machar. Or you borrow it for today and you rent it for tomorrow. Sachar achas v'sha'al achas. Or you borrow one cow and you rent another cow. Umesa, and then the cow dies. Hamashil omer shu'ula mesa. The mashil says, oh, the borrowed one dies, and a shoel is chayiv in onsim, and therefore you have to pay me for the cow that died. B'yom shaisa shu'ula mesa. Or, in the situation where it was two different days, on the day that this cow was lent to you, that's the day that it died. Or, in the case where it was one day, but they split the time of the day, b'sha'a shayisa shu'ula mesa. It died at a time that it was shu'ula, not a time that it was schura. V'alomer, and the other, the borrower says, eini yodea. You know what? I have no idea when it actually happened. So chayiv, he's going to be chayiv to pay, because bari v'shema, bari adif. The mashil is a tainas bari, that I know exactly when it died. The shoel is a tainas shema, I don't know. I can't say for sure when it died. Bari v'shema, bari adif. The Rishonim raised the question why we need three separate cases over here. A case where it's chatzi yom v'chatzi yom, it's hayom u'machar, it's two different cows. So Tosos in Dibra Maskul Shala over here points out, lozu avzu katani. Lomi bayu she'il chatzi yom v'sachr chatzi yom, desafik gomor d'ikal amiti shakol b'yom echad, v'chashiv drara d'mamona. Drar de Mamona means that there's a situation where, even without any of the tainos, you already see that there's a suffix. You would recognize the suffix. So when it's half a day and a half a day, the suffix is much more inherent to the case. It's much more obvious. Ulachi katani b'seifa zelmeri in yodeh v'zelmeri in yodeh achloku. Ela afilu sha'ala yom v'sachar l'machar isal l'memri achloku. Even when it's less of a drar de Mamona, because it was two separate days. V'lo mi bai b'parachas de sveka rabihi. Ela afilu b'shtei paros. yachloku. And not only when it's one cow, where it's an obvious suffix, but even when it's two cows, where it's less of a suffix, because they're two totally separate animals. In all those cases, the Tos says it's a lozu afzu to tell me that that we're still going to say this din of the bari of the yachloku that we have in the end of the Mishnah. I mean, it's the din of yachloku in the case where zomri and yodeva zomri and yodea, where we paskin b'makom sheish drar de mamona, that yachloku. That's what the lozu avzu is coming to address specifically, that type of case. The Rashba calls him Yishalmi. He's not sure what the din would be if shal ayom v'sachar l'machar, and then it dies at night. Meaning, I borrow it for today. It only works during the day. Borrow it for today, rent it tomorrow, then it dies at night. So you didn't have a shawl or didn't have a socher. So Yishalmi says that it's talim what the most people borrow a paro liyom echad. Does it remain in his rishos for the next day, or do you have to give it back at night? So if when you borrow a cow for one day, you don't have to give it back till the next morning, so then it's a continuation of the Sheila. But if when you borrow a cow for one day, you're supposed to give it back before nightfall, so then we assume that it's already transferred over to the Schirus, and therefore you'd be pater. So that's how the Yerushalmi says. Rashba quotes from Yerushalmi. But weiter in the Mishnah, Hasocher Omer Schura Mesa. Let's say, slightly different case. The Socher says, I know that the rented one died, and therefore I am pater. B'yom Shaisa Schura Mesa, or on the day that it was Schura, it died. Or B'shah Shaisa Schura Mesa, at the time that it was Schura, it died. V'alomer, and the one who lent it out, who rented it out, says, Eini Yodea, I don't know, I wasn't there. Pater, then he's going to be pater because the other guy had no idea. Ze omer shu'ula v'ze omer schura. What if they're both with the Tainas Bari? They're both absolutely certain what happened. One of them said the borrowed one, and the other one said that the rented one. Yishava ha-socher she-schura mesa. Then the socher is going to have to swear that it was the schura that in fact died. Rashi points out, "Kaman paruch mashatanu lohodelo ve'chaksuva shvuazu." Where do you have such a shvua? This is not a moda b'mitzvah. There's no shvua daraisa over here because of mashatanu lohodelo. He's being towing on one animal; the other guy is being moda on the other animal. So how's that a chiyuv shvua? So that's what Gemara is going to develop. All these cases where there's some sort of gilgul shvua, where somehow he's chayav shvua anyway, and we're megalgal on him this additional shvua. If both people say they don't know, neither of them is aware of what exactly it is, so then yachloku. Then you would split it. This is assuming, like the Shita, mamana mutal besafek, cholkin. Now, whenever you have a mamana mutal besafek, it's considered to be that the halach is that instead of saying a motzi mechaver alavaraya, you split the difference. So says Gemara, shamet minei. What we see from our Mishnah is that we said in the very first case, bari v'shema, that's bari yadif, that manali biyadcha. If one guy says, you owe me $100, va'alo mer eini yodea, and the other one says, I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe no, chayiv, that he has to pay, because the taina's bari is going to be enough to be motzi miyad amuchsuk, is going to be enough to take the money away from him. Lema tavi tiyufta de Rav Nachman. Maybe this is a tiyufta on Rav Nachman. Why is it a tiyufta on Rav Nachman to Itmar? Because we have the following. Manali biyachav alomar in Yodea. Exactly this case. Someone says, you owe me $100. And the Nitva says, I don't know. I don't know if I owe you the money or not. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda amri chayiv. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say that he's chayiv because bari v'shema, bari adif. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Amri Pater. But Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, say that you're Pater. Apparently, the Tainas Bari is not enough to be motzi miyada muchzak, that the chazak is strong enough that it even beats out a Tainas Bari. So answers the Gemara, Kedam Rav Nachman, Kigon Shiyesh Esek Shvua Beinehen. Hachanami Kigon Shiyesh Esek Shvua Beinehen. The case is that there is already a Shvua Beinehen. That's how we must understand our Mishnah as well, that anyway, there's already a Chiv Shvua in the picture. So since there's an Esek Shvua Beinehen, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. So since the Nitva can't be Nishba because he only has a Taina Shema, so what kind of Shvua is he going to take? He doesn't know what happened. So since he only has a Taina Shema and he can't take a Shavua, that's why he's going to have to pay. When there's already a Chi of Shavua, and the Gemara is going to describe in a moment, probably not today, but the Gemara is going to describe what that Esek Shavua is. Tosavir points out in Lema Tavit Yuftad Rav Nachman Vim Tomer Amastisa Mukimah B'Samach Kusumchus De Lo Azil Basu Chazaka V'Isle Mamana Mutal B'Savik Cholkin, meaning our whole Mishnah has to be looked at as one piece. So we're asking on the Bari V'Shema part, that how could it be that Bari is a Tainas Bari is enough to be Motzi Miyana Muchsak? Whatever happened to the value of a Muchsak? Says Tosos, our Mishnah is not goreis the value of a muchzak, because our Mishnah holds like sumchus that when you have mamon amutu b'safek, you don't say, oh, whoever has the chazaka and it gets to keep it. We're going like sumchus that it's cholkin. So obviously sumchus would hold that a tainas bari is enough to be motzi mamon. The Rav Nachman's whole shita is based on the premise of a motzi mechaver olav haraya. It's based on the premise that we follow the Rabbanan, that a motzi mechaver olav haraya rather than mamon amutu b'safek cholkin. The Yeshlomar says to us to sumchus to say mamon amutu b'safek cholkin havikilu tarvayu muchzakin bo. V'kimel v'lididei ahani bari neged shema v'chayev hakol hachinami avle nemer the Rabbanan da ahani nami bari neged shema l'kol apachus lomar sheyachloku. That sumchus holds mamon amutu b'safek cholkin, it's as if they're both muchzak in it. That's the way sumchus views it, that they're both muchzak in half of the money, and still a tainas bari is going to work connected the Shema to make him pay all of the money. So the Rabbanim who say that one guy is muksuk in all the money, the Tainas Bari should at least move the needle over to make him be chayiv at least half of the money. That's the assumption that we're making. Not that Sumchus ignores muksuk, but that he views it as if each guy is currently muksuk in half of the money. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Hechidami Esek Shavuot.